And we get Cody Rhodes versus Jey Uso, right?
What?
No.
We get Cody Rhodes versus either LA Knight or AJ Styles.
I was getting my
we get my titles. Damian Priest versus Jey Uso.
That's right. Yep. I was getting them mixed up.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to talk about Raw after Mania, or just are we just going to just go for it, just everything that's happened?
I think so.
Well, we have to start with, like, the biggest thing for Raw after Mania.
Which was probably what it opened with.
Yep. So Triple H comes out, has a nice little speech about it, shows Cody a video, you know, intros Cody out, shows Cody a nice little video on their tiny monitor.
Yeah, that was so, because they couldn't do the Titantron thing because of the
setup for stand setup and deliver or whatever from the NXT match from the NXT thing on Saturday. That was the arena they were at.
Yep.
And it wasn't set up with a Titantron, so...
Just wheeled out this little TV.
It was pretty funny. It was a nice little spot. I love the, I love like the edit for Cody and getting to see the journey, even some of the worst parts of the journey.
Yeah, Stardust.
Stardust. Cody is still on his celebration tour. He spend some time in the ring, you know, we got to hear him get announced again.
Yep.
And then The Rock comes out. And that's where
I was actually shocked.
Yeah, and that's
The
where
Rock came out.
Things got kind of interesting because we were not expecting The Rock.
No, we're not.
And he comes out there, you know, his hands up, you know, he's kind of letting Cody have it. And they have this exchange that
the belt exchange.
Well, so they have this little exchange. And it's kind of awkward, at least. Like the chant was, "This is awkward." Mm-hmm. I feel like it was just tense. There was a lot of tension there because we didn't.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because the crowd wouldn't even let The Rock speak for like a while.
Nope. So they spent a lot of time just being quiet, kind of staring each other down. And then they do this whole thing with the belts. Or does he hand him the thing first? No, he does.
Yeah,
the belt.
It was the belts first.
It was the belts first, yeah. So The Rock kind of is there, and he's a little bit like, it's like, you know, I've never held like the Universal Championship. He's like, can I hold that belt? Which was kind of weird. It was kind of weird just because of that. But like to me, something that I saw get referenced was a thing with The Rock and Cody Rhodes in 2014.
What was that?
Where The Rock had the title temporarily off of one of his little feuds at that WrestleMania, or either that WrestleMania or that SummerSlam. I think it was WrestleMania. And Cody came out there, and that's when he had the mustache.
Yeah.
And he asked The Rock if he could hold the belt. That's what I was pretty sure it was referenced.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it either. I had either seen it and completely forgotten about it or had never seen it. That was something I saw kind of floating around. I don't know if it was in reference to that or it was just like a moment of like mutual, you know, stuff.
With that whole thing, I don't know. I was like convinced of this when I was watching. I genuinely thought The Rock had like the Eagle belt like under his shirt or something and was going to give that to Cody.
Give the new one. Yeah. Yeah, I think we might be waiting a little bit for that just because like the belt's really not that old.
Yeah.
Like this version of it.
Yeah, because Roman just got it like last year.
Yeah. So they do their little belt exchange where Cody gets to hold the People's Championship. The Rock gets to hold the Universal Championship. Cool. Everything's good. They swap back. Everything's fine. Then The Rock decides to give Cody a gift. And this is the thing that I really want to talk about.
Yeah, people are still throwing out rumors for what this thing is.
The Rock says specifically, you don't have to open your hand to know what this is.
To know what this is, yeah.
And it's something small enough to fit in his hand, and he gives it to him. And then he basically says, you know, don't break my heart again. You know, when I come back. And this is the part that's specific, because a lot of people said some shit that was not true about this. The Rock said, belt or no. I'm not quoting him necessarily, but The Rock said, belt or no. He was coming after Cody. He pointed you. He said you. He's not going after Universal Championship. He's going after Cody specifically. And that was like really important to me because that means this story with The Rock is not finished.
Nope.
Which leads me into where we have to kind of do some theory crafting. What did The Rock give him?
I've heard a couple of theories. Some of them include that it was... Some are saying the watch, which I don't agree with because Cody had the watch on the press conference.
Yeah, the watch was already given to him. Yep.
Someone said like maybe one of the beads from Roman's necklace.
We will get into that for sure. What do you think it is?
I haven't really thought about what I think it is. I don't know. Tell me what you think it is, and maybe I'll think of something.
What I think, personally, is it's a little bit generic because, of course, I'm not familiar enough with Dusty Rhodes. I'm not familiar enough with the Rhodes family to make this kind of claim as to specifically what it is. Storyline-wise, in my head, I think it's something of Dusty's, something that at one point belonged to Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
The Rock had been building up his relationship with the Rhodes family and Dusty Rhodes specifically. I think even at one point he said, I loved your dad.
Yeah, he did say that.
So it would make sense that Dusty, someone who influenced a great number of wrestlers, maybe had given Rock something at some point, or perhaps The Rock had come across something of Dusty's. And I think this is a piece of that thing. Because here's the important thing about the bead thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were 4 points with the bead thing. I don't remember all of them, but one of the points very specifically was its odd shape makes it easy to recognize in the hand. But I think something people are forgetting is that he doesn't necessarily need to be able to recognize in his hand because it's acting.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, you think maybe he just handed him actually nothing?
Actually nothing, yeah. So you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't... Because he doesn't actually need to know what it is. The Rock can just say that.
Yeah.
Like, because they both backstage already know what it's supposed to be. Or maybe they don't. It doesn't... But
they'll figure that out later.
You know what I'm saying? They could say the same thing, and it would make no difference. Even if it was something very generic, and he said, oh, you'll know what this is without opening your hand. Well, we'll never know, like, if he would or wouldn't. That's why I kind of disagree with the bead thing. Also, because it gets into like weird stuff with like the bloodline. And I really just don't think that they're setting up Cody necessarily to just fight the bloodline again and again and again.
Yeah.
Maybe like one more time with Solo after Solo's been built up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I don't necessarily agree with the bead thing. But I think it's something of Dusty's, maybe that is in pieces, like something, or maybe it's like part of an award or part of a thing that was originally Dusty's from his time as a wrestler, where Cody would know what it is right away, because Cody almost looked like astonished.
Yeah, he looked like shocked or surprised.
Right. And that makes me think that it's something of Dusty's, which is going to build up their fight, because like, what if it's something like, oh, the story is, because keep in mind, they can make up whatever story they want. You know, it's not like Dusty Rhodes is doing stuff still, and it's not like, you know, rest in peace, Dusty Rhodes, but they can make up whatever storyline they want about the Rhodes family, and it's automatically true, because if Cody says it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
What if it's something, a part of something, that is like a prized possession of the Rhodes family? And then the questions become, how did The Rock get this? Why does he have this? Why is he just giving me part of it back? And where is the rest of it? You know, assuming that it's something that comes in pieces, mm-hmm. right? I really like that storyline because it builds up the insidious nature of The Rock, where it's like The Rock's coming in there and he's like, you know, no fireworks, yada, 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 no, nothing like that, which was another part of the theory, I think, at one point, something about how he kept saying no fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's that because then it's like personal. And The Rock was definitely making their fight personal. It was not about the belt.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it has to be something not related to the championship at all. It's got to be something completely different. And he said, don't break my heart again.
Yeah, that line confused me a little bit. I wasn't sure why he said that.
I don't know why he said it either. But I think it may have something to do with Cody's history or his past or his family. Where, you know, because keep in mind, like in kayfabe, The Rock was offended by Cody calling out his grandfather. Or basically saying his grandfather would be ashamed of him, and there was all that stuff.
Yep.
Pushing him towards Roman. So I feel like it's some family thing related to that, like some history between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's a cool narrative, because then even if Cody's not the champion, we've done the thing that I've wanted them to do with Roman for the longest time, which was separate tribal chiefdom from the title. And if they actually follow through and this is like a piece of something or something to the Rhodes family that's important for Cody, they've separated the Universal Championship away from whatever Cody's thing is, which is great, because then now it doesn't matter. Cody doesn't need to be the champion in order to have a big feud with The Rock, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because the Universal Championship is now on the table for anyone, which makes it not predictable.
Yeah.
But go ahead with your thoughts on that.
I definitely think it is something dusty coated, something to do with him.
Dusty coated. I like that. Dusty coated.
Yeah.
That's our new thing for Cody Rhodes.
This is a
dusty coated segment.
I definitely think it's something to do with him. It very well just could have been nothing. I think
in all actuality, he didn't hand him anything.
In all fairness,
he's going to pretend for like he did. Yeah. They're going to figure out later what it is. Yep. You know?
I don't know when do you think The Rock's going to come back? Because he has like a SummerSlam.
Probably around SummerSlam, I would bet.
Because I know he's got a bunch of stuff coming up.
That's at the soonest, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be way later. Could be Survivor Series. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Another big return, year after year, big returns at Survivor Series. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
When The Rock comes back, do you think he's going to keep up the heel thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Rock is now permanently a heel.
I don't know about permanently.
I think forever. I think he's really enjoyed being a heel. I mean, think about it like this. When The Rock was a face, when he was facing John Cena and like CM Punk and those kind of guys, right? When he had problems with those guys,
mm-hmm.
he didn't get on like his social media and like go after them.
No, he didn't.
He was just a face. Didn't matter. He was the hero. He was the people's champion. But man, The Rock sure loved cutting 20-plus minute promos on his Instagram. You know what I mean?
He did post 20-minute videos.
And keep in mind, lots of people who follow The Rock on there are not wrestling fans. It's just people who followed him as an actor.
They like
The
Rock.
And it's him going, Cody, I'm going to beat your fucking, yeah. It's like, I'm going to beat you till you're bloody, and then I'm going to hand this bloody belt to your mother. Mama Rhodes, Mama Rhodes. Like, that went out to like children who like Moana.
Yeah, speaking of, that's what it's like, his next project is the live action Moana.
Mama Rhodes. He did actually reference Moana that one time.
I think he did. Yeah.
My poor toddler is going to be traumatized.
Oh, what can I say except you're welcome.
Oh, man.
It was funny. It was hilarious. I mean, I could not believe it. So I think he is permanently a heel for WWE, which is great, honestly.
When he comes back, he should still be the heel.
He is very easily filling the shoes that heel Vince McMahon had. Because keep in mind, we also don't really know, like, the final boss thing really hasn't been capitalized on yet. That was just like a thing they were calling him. Like, yes, he did do that heel thing where he told the ref not to count them out, which was hilarious.
So funny.
Yeah, it was great.
I think that might
be... you're fired.
Yeah, I think that might be... No, it's not the first time we've...
No, definitely not, but...
He did throw one of those in there.
But still, like, it's great. It's great. And I definitely think we will continue to see The Rock, and I think he will come out as, like, the new version of authority, where it's like, oh, great, here we go. Here's The Rock again, you know? Like, it'll be something like that, where, like, whenever we'd hear, like, no chance... That's what you and everybody would go, oh, God, not again.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
And he'd walk out there all, you know.
His classic walk.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah. I think that's what The Rock will be now, except for, like, in a much more, like, cooler kind of, like, you know.
Rock way.
More epic kind of way, yeah. Yeah, it's great. I think it's great. And I do think The Rock will come back maybe, I don't know, SummerSlam soon.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
Yeah. I'm like, what, it's August?
Also Ohio. The Rock's going to come back to wrestle in Ohio. I mean, you know.
You know, we have lots of things to say about Ohio. Hey, my favorite wrestler is from Ohio.
Yeah?
Yeah. And he's also the reason why it's at SummerSlam. he makes a great energy drink.
Oh,
could you imagine? There are people today.
He's literally from Cleveland, too, isn't he?
He's from Cleveland, yeah. Is he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's from Ohio, at least. I don't know if he's specifically from Cleveland.
I think it is Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Because there was the whole Jake Paul thing with Team 10.
Yeah.
Cleveland is my city. Oh, God. Okay, what else happened on Raw after Mania?
Okay, lots of stuff. Two matches to promote the draft from NXT. We had both NXT champions wrestle on Raw after Mania. Ram.
Yeah, we had Ilya Dragunov versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Roxanne Perez versus Indy Hartwell.
Yes. Perez versus Hartwell was interesting because they had previous beef that was interrupted, I think, by injuries.
Yeah.
And Roxanne has been kind of popping off as her heel character because she had been a babyface for a long time. I know you're not really like a big NXT guy.
Yeah, but still, just from her her appearances on the main roster from last year, obviously she was like a babyface when she came out then.
I need to take a quick aside from Raw after Mania to point this out. Pat McAfee was really on one during WrestleMania. I don't know what his thing was. He was like losing his mind. I don't know. He was like really getting like aggressive. And he's been like that since WrestleMania. I don't know what happened, but something that was funny was he called the sunset flip, you know, he called it the code red.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like Zelina Vega's version of it.
Yeah.
He called it that. And then he was like, yeah, he's about to get code. Like he's about to get the code red. And then Michael Cole goes, hey, you may as well call it Pop Rocks. And I was thinking that same thing. I'm like, yeah, if he's just going to call it everyone's finisher, everyone who does a version of that move.
Anyone who does a destroyer, it's a code red.
Yeah. So, like, it's like, it was just really funny. And I thought that because then it was like Roxanne Perez was there, and then he didn't call it that. He didn't call out Pop Rocks. And I was like, oh, you had your opportunity to call Pop Rocks. It was great. It was great. It was a good match. Obviously, it was just to promote Roxanne Perez for the main roster as women's champion for NXT. Ilya Dragunov's match versus Shinsuke was amazing.
It was.
They were great. I think so many people have a really hard time with the way Shinsuke wrestles. Because he wrestles like that more like Japanese strong style, where it's like, it's a little bit more like counter fighty, like it's like very like
counter for counter kind of stuff.
Yeah. Ilya Dragunov wrestled perfectly with that.
They worked really well together.
And it was a short match.
Yeah.
It was great. And I think Ilya made a great first showing, and I highly suspect that Ilya will be drafted to probably Raw if I had to guess, but maybe SmackDown. I think personally, if you ask me, I think if wherever they're throwing Gunther, they need to throw Ilya. So if Gunther is going for the Universal title now, Ilya should also be going for the Universal title. I don't care. Ilya's fantastic. He's probably one of my favorite. Actually, I would probably say firmly, he is my favorite WWE wrestler right now.
Really need to go back and do some homework on him. I saw his match against Carmelo Hayes and was blown away.
It was amazing. He had two matches against Carmelo Hayes.
I think I saw it was the second one I saw.
Yeah, the first one was amazing. The second one built off of that first one because there was a big coast-to-coast spot that got countered, that Carmelo Hayes countered into, I don't remember what his finisher is called, but it's kind of like a cutter. It got countered. And then in the second match, Ilya Dragunov faked him out on the coast to coast and then dropped down and then kneed him and then H-bombed him off the turnbuckle. And it was like, there it is. It's like, if you watch that first match, the second match is so much better because it's basically they did the reverse version of everything where Ilya this time, when Ilya faced Carmelo while he was champion, he wasn't ready. But Ilya facing Carmelo the second time was absolutely ready. I'm not crazy about the character Ilya plays.
Yeah, like, what is his, like, character? Just, like, crazy guy? Like, I don't know.
Crazy Russian man?
Yeah.
How did I describe? I feel like I've described him in a funny way before. I think I described him as, like, like what, like the, I don't know what I say, like he's like the like Lenin of wrestlers, like he has his goatee and his like crazy expressions, and he comes out there in a suit. He's kind of scholarly almost. He holds himself to a very high regard. He's kind of like Gunther almost.
Yeah.
He come out to like classical music.
He does. Yep, he does.
The whole conductor arm.
He does.
Thing.
He does. Yeah, it's like the, it's like, duh, 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 Yep. And on his ass it says unbesiegbar, right? Like, because it's unbesiegeable or unsiegeable.
I have no idea.
We looked it up one time.
We did, but I can't. And let me look it up. Hang on.
Yeah, it's like it basically, yeah, he's like a very stylized wrestler in that way, where he's like, he's got a very dynamic personality on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he needs a gimmick.
No, he can just be Ilya Dragunov and be fine.
Yeah. I think it's great. I really want him to face Gunther in a title match. And I think it would be great if Gunther's going for the heavyweight championship, cool. If Gunther's going for the Universal champion, cool. Put Ilya in that same bracket with him. Have them have matches to try and get to that.
That'd be brilliant, honestly. Or if they don't do Gunther, run it with Shinsuke as a feud, like as a starter feud or something.
Sure, maybe. I don't know. Shinsuke does a lot of those little 3-week feuds.
He does do a lot.
Not crazy about almost any of them. The first one with who was it first? It wasn't Cody. It was before Cody. Seth. Yeah, the first one with Seth was great. After that, they just kind of got repetitive. Because, like, his reason against Seth was like, oh, you know, you're, like, broken, and I'm going to, like, fully break you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not as good as you think you are, you know, yada, yada. Like,
yeah. And then Cody was just like, Cody thing is like, steal your story.
Well, yeah, his Cody thing is like, we're not so different, you and I, Mr. Cody Rhodes.
We both run the Royal Rumble, and we both lost. We're the same guy. That was a bit silly.
He's like, this is my story, not your story. And it's like,
okay, bud.
Bro.
Okay,
Shinsuke,
bro.
I love you, but this is not the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he did one with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that one was like really short.
It was. Yeah, it was like two matches. Yeah. Yeah. So two good matches for NXT.
The main event was also pretty good.
Yeah, the Fatal 4-Way. Fatal
4-Way to decide the.
Yeah, because that was Bronson Reed,
Jey Uso,
and Drew McIntyre. Yes. Yes. Great match. Bronson Reed looked super strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad Bronson Reed is getting like a big push either here or in Speed.
Mm-hmm.
Reed
is Speed.
Because Reed is Speed. Ricochet also looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jay was getting beat up pretty bad because he had like all of like the rap.
The tape playing up the
right,
injury
yeah.
from the spear.
Yep. And, more so than that, Drew McIntyre was really going after Jay. Drew was pretty mad about his 5 minutes and 26 seconds. He came out there like before the match started to have his little thing.
His little promo, yeah.
Yeah, and then Jay comes out there and Pat McAfee gets on the table and he throws the microphone at Pat McAfee. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I was rewatching that earlier.
And Cole was like, get down, dude, get down. There's an angry Scotsman after you.
He's like, Pat, you really should get down now. He just threw a microphone at you.
He's like, no, I'm heating.
Yeah, so then Jay comes out and interrupts Drew, and that just kind of builds on that older kind of rivalry. Yeah, I'm here for it. And then CM Punk ends
screws
it.
Him over again.
Drew screws him over again, which was pretty funny. It was pretty
hilarious.
Funny. Yeah, Jay beats Drew. Jay becomes the number one contender for the title, so he'll face Damian Priest at Backlash. I'm excited for it. I don't think Jay is going to win.
No. It's Damian's first title defense. It would be a waste to have him lose on his first defense.
I really want Damian to hold the title for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I mean, I feel like, especially now that Rhea is gone.
Yeah. Judgment Day needs that.
Judgment, yeah. That's like their legitimacy almost is like, oh, they have a world championship.
Yeah.
Especially, yeah, if Rhea's not physically going to be there, that's like their main thing.
I think that,
I
pretty
mean,
much
that covers Raw after Raw. Mania.
For some reason, the SmackDown after Mania is feeling hazy to me. What happened on that?
I mean, a few things really happened. It was just another round of the Cody victory lap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got Bayley's first like entrance.
Yeah, they did the two. They did the two matches to determine the number one contender for Cody's title.
Yep.
And AJ Styles won the first. No, was it LA Knight who won first or AJ that won first?
I think it was LA Knight and then AJ.
And then AJ won later. So now they're gonna have the repeat. They're gonna have the second match, which I'm excited about, which is gonna be this Friday.
Yep.
So we'll finally know who he's going to face. I'm hoping it's AJ.
Yeah.
Cody is just such a, I think heel AJ is a really good opponent for Cody.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing.
And it's like, do you really want the face versus face showdown between?
Well,
LA
not only
Knight
that, the face versus face showdown where LA Knight is almost certainly going to lose. Like if LA Knight faces Cody, he will lose.
Yeah.
AJ Styles is also going to lose, but at least AJ Styles has the heel buildup to make it feel like, oh, well, Cody should win.
Mm.
Because AJ is bad.
Yeah.
He's a bad dude.
LA Knight winning and then fighting Cody, it wouldn't do anything.
Just to lose wouldn't do anything for LA Knight. Yeah. Whereas AJ, it really.
As much as I hate to say it, LA Knight should just be going after like Logan Paul or something right now.
Maybe. And then after that, of course, so we figured out who's going to be facing Cody probably. We're down to two suspects. They gave Solo Sikoa some time.
Yes, they did.
Well, they did like the initial thing where they walked in, and then it was like, oh, they're going to their little Bloodline clubhouse, and it says Cody Rhodes on the door. And Paul Heyman is like, hey, guys, losing has consequences. And for some reason, Solo had such a problem. Like, Solo was like, nah, I'm going to fix this. And Paul Heyman's like, bro, we lost. That's what happens when you lose. You don't get the nice locker room with your name on it. You know, I understand. That's a big locker room for just Cody. We used to put six people in that locker room.
Oh, man.
So then he comes out later, and Solo is out there with Jimmy, and he's out there with the wise man, Paul Heyman. And we've pretty much confirmed now that Solo is kind of taking over, right? Like,
yeah.
It gives Solo some speaking time. I actually thought it was pretty good. I kind of actually am digging this Solo Sikoa as the leader of the Bloodline. For some reason, it's because he's going to be around more, but it feels like it fits well. It feels like Solo fits in that position.
It does fit. And I mean, would you see Jimmy trying to take over? No.
No.
Solo's always been the guy that's like, he's going to try and take over when Roman's gone.
Yeah, especially, I mean, he was like pretty sinister in the ring. Like he hugs Jimmy and he's like, I love you, brother. And he's like, oh, I love you too, man. And then Tama Tonga out of nowhere destroys Jimmy, just obliterates him. They beat him up a bunch. They put him in the corner. Solo says it again. He's like, I love you, not little brother. I think he is the little brother. But he's like, I love you, brother. And then he fucking smashes him with the nastiest, like, hip check, whatever, like, I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dude throws a hip like crazy. I mean, that one sounded like it hurt. And the chair, like, with the chair shot, like, mixed in.
Mm-hmm. So, where does... what's Tama Tonga's position in the
Bloodline?
The family? Yeah.
He's a cousin.
He's a cousin.
So the theory is that I want to say it's Jacob Fatu.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Jacob Fatu is the other wrestler
brother. That was the
other
guy I was hearing about.
Yeah. He's another cousin, I believe, where the rumor is that he's going to get signed, and then him and Tama Tonga are going to form like the new tag team for the Bloodline.
Okay.
Because both of their fathers were a tag team together. I don't remember. One of them is Haku, and I don't remember the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But their fathers were both tag team wrestlers together. So it kind of makes sense. Like,
for sure.
The family way. I like this. It's something I would have preferred maybe they introduce before WrestleMania, like maybe like hint at like, oh, well, I'll call in some backup for us. You know what I mean? Mm. Or something like that. Cause
having Tama Tonga come out at WrestleMania.
Right. Cause like for this, it just felt like, oh, okay. Well, why didn't you bring him in sooner?
Yeah. Like
the guys were
like
running as three
later.
Guys for like a really long time. You know, and of course, everybody knew they signed him because that dude was telling everybody they signed him. You remember that? Like, we knew they signed him like 2 weeks before, like any of the any like before he showed up. Like we knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it though. Mm-hmm. I think I like this new tag team. I especially like how Paul Heyman goes to call like Roman Reigns
and he stomps the phone.
Stomps the phone. And I feel like he's basically like, you know, this is what the tribal chief ordered. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, who's the tribal chief solo? Because ain't nobody calling Roman Reigns.
Apparently Roman Reigns, like, have you heard that apparently Roman Reigns is coming back sooner rather than later?
That's something I've heard. But I mean,
I thought he was going to be gone for like a long time.
Well, he's doing some movie thing right now, right?
Yeah.
He's doing a Hollywood thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. It'll still probably be a while, but I wouldn't mind Roman coming back. I feel like they should wait and bring back Roman as like the anti-bloodline. Not like the anti-bloodline, but like, and
fighting the bloodline.
Fighting the bloodline, yeah. Because I almost kind of like this idea of like, now that Roman has been like the big villain, he can be the hero for once.
Yeah. I honestly, yeah, if they bring him back and turn him face, he'll be a massive face, honestly. Like,
I think they could do it now. If you would have asked me even like a month ago, I would have been like, never.
Yeah, it would be cool to see like
dropping the title like that and now creating this new version of the bloodline that might be more ruthless than Roman's bloodline, because Roman's bloodline was like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roman gave the orders and they followed them. This one might be kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I think just seeing Roman get the run back on being a face and doing it well would be a really cool thing to see. How infamous his original face run was. All right, so we're about caught up here almost. We just have to talk about the most recent episode of Raw.
Yes, yes. So we did another Cody segment.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I am starting to eye roll Cody segments because I understand we're just stalling until Backlash. We're just stalling until the draft. I understand. We don't know where anyone's going to end up, so we don't want to start any feuds.
Yeah.
I get it. Whatever.
Yeah, this one was pretty generic. He just came out, got the crowd fired up, talked about The Rock a little bit.
Yep.
That's pretty much it for this Cody appearance.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. That about sums it up for that. I don't remember all the order. I don't remember the order of events, but new tag belts. So,
and they look great.
Yep. Triple H came out. He had Adam Pearce out there. They called out Awesome Truth. We have finally gotten rid of
the red and blue belts.
Yeah. Well, the red ones. The blue ones, we'll find out.
Have to find
I'm
out.
I'm assuming they're just going to be blue versions of those same belts.
Yeah, they could be, but I think it'd be cool if they. Because the Raw ones kind of look
well,
like
yeah,
a
they
heavyweight
are
title.
Well, remember, they actually did say that. Yeah, they said the Raw ones are the world
yeah.
tag team. And
so
then
these
other
ones
will
be
the WWE.
Or WWE or like Universal tag
yeah.
team champions.
Well, no, I think because one of them is going to be the WWE ones. One of them is going to be the like, because the World Heavyweight Championship, and then you have the Universal WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it'll be like their equivalent of the Universal title, but in tag belts. Kind of yep. like how Rhea and Io's belts are still different.
Yep.
I'm betting these blue ones are going to be more generic looking.
Maybe. They might be.
Maybe. I don't know. I hope they're cool. I hope they're cool. The red ones are cool. I like them. They've mm-hmm. got like a very iconic look to them.
Yeah, I like that we're kind of going back to like the big gold belt style.
Yeah.
It's really
yeah.
cool.
And they're kind of like, I kind of like that the actual belts are smaller.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that with the tag titles, because they look kind of like, I don't want to say cheap isn't the word I want to say, but comparatively speaking.
Yeah, it's like you have these gold belts and you have these silver ones that are the tag team ones.
Well, and they're like flimsy looking. Like there's nothing on them and they've got these long belt loop things to them. And it's like, they just never look that great.
Yeah, I hope with these new ones they do like custom plates for the tag titles too.
That would be cool. That would be cool. I mean, they do have the side plates on them. At least right now, they're just the generic WWE Globe ones or whatever, but
yeah.
We'll see.
We also had the return of Sheamus.
Yeah. Yep. Versus Ivar.
Mm-hmm. And you know me, I love bringing back a good theme.
Yes.
And Seamus did bring back his original theme.
Yes, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I liked the match. I think Seamus is a little rusty. I think it definitely shows. We'll see how things go.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he had a pretty bad injury that almost ended his career.
Yeah, he was considering retiring. So
yeah, glad he didn't.
I will say his contract is also almost up.
Is it?
Yeah, WWE's in this big problem right now where a bunch of contracts. So Becky's contract's almost up. Seth's contract is almost up. Drew's contract is almost up. Sheamus's contract is almost up. Like, they even said that, like, this is like an unprecedented thing. So, like, the theory is like, oh, Tony Khan with a big paycheck can come in here and steal some people. Yeah, probably. Especially if there's some people who, like, I won't say are beyond big pushes in WWE, but you know what I mean? Like,
people that have kind of are, like, I mean, especially in the case of, like, Seth and Becky, they've done it all.
I think for Sheamus, actually, it's, like, the most opportune. Because think about it like this. Becky could come back and have another big title run, for sure, mm-hmm. 100%.
Easily.
Seth could come back and have it. Probably Seth will come back and have another big title run.
Absolutely.
Do you think they're going to give Sheamus that kind of push after they kind of buried him in Brawling Brutes for such a long time?
Yeah, but the thing with Sheamus is, like, he still needs the IC title to get the Grand Slam champion thing. That's, like, the only thing.
I mean, tell me this. Would millions of dollars make you care less about that Grand Slam championship? It would to me.
Yeah.
I'd stop giving a fuck about that Grand Slam champion right away. I'd be like, oh, Tony, sign the check.
I only bring that up because I'm pretty sure Michael Cole was like brought that up again, like, oh, the last title he needs is the IC title. But
sure, but Sheamus is like, especially if he like gets back into it more, he is like a top tier talent. He had arguably the best match of 2023 out of like all wrestling.
Yeah, the WrestleMania triple threat.
Yeah, so like, I personally feel like if they don't push him, maybe he should go.
Maybe.
I mean,
but like, I don't know. AEW roster is so bloated.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Would AEW even use him as well as WWE could
maybe,
right now?
Maybe not. But yeah, Sheamus, get your bag.
True.
You know, you were just on the shelf for however long. I don't know. That's my thing, is like, that's going to be up to him and WWE. Same with Drew McIntyre.
I don't see Drew leaving. Sheamus, I can see. Drew, I don't know.
I don't know. Let's see how this whole beef with CM Punk goes.
Yeah.
Because here's my thing.
Yeah, and also Drew was not very present on this episode. All he did was like mauled and kick down a TV and then leave.
Yep, that is exactly what he did. That is exactly what he did. And that's the thing, right? Like, I think CM Punk could be like too much feud for him. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, because think about it like this. Drew, since the Royal Rumble, has really not had to contend with CM Punk.
Yeah. He's just had to talk about him a lot.
Now he's contending with CM Punk. And it's like, obviously the fans are going to side with Punk probably more than Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously, Drew's the heel in this. But you get what I'm saying? It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, they chant CM Punk every chance they get. They don't chant Drew McIntyre every chance they get. So if this feud
we got to see like a match at least.
I know. If this feud goes bad for Drew McIntyre, is basically what I'm saying. Like, Drew might just be like, eh, see ya. Because Drew McIntyre at AEW, you can't tell me for even 1 second they wouldn't use Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, they, yeah.
Drew McIntyre would be on that title scene in a heartbeat.
Immediately, off rip.
Yep. Even. The second his non-compete ends.
The second Broken Dreams hits in AEW.
They could bring back Broken Dreams. I mean, shoot, they, was it for Edge, right? They just let him keep his stuff. Yeah, his whole bit. His whole bit was available.
Yep.
It's crazy.
But that one, I think it's because Alter Bridge gave that song to him.
Well, sure. But I think there was like another thing. Wasn't it like the Rated R Superstar or something like that? Like, they never actually trademarked that or anything.
Oh, because, yeah, they do still call him that, right?
Yeah.
But he's just Adam Copeland instead of Edge.
Yeah, I think Edge they can't, but yeah. Like,
the Rated R Superstar thing, right. They can't take
it. Yeah, he has the music. He's called the Rated R Superstar. Adam Copeland. Okay. Yeah. That's it.
Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
Sure.
I don't know. I've said it before, but I love I'm loving heel Candice LeRae. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'm just really enjoying it. And in this match, it seemed like Indy Hartwell also gave into the heelish tactics, and she's on board with it now.
Yep. Indy turn, for sure.
Yep.
Which Indy, I would argue, a baby face of baby faces, right?
Like totally.
A top tier baby face. At least she was in NXT. They've kind of put her on the shelf for a while. But yeah, so it seems like she's fully turned now. I don't like the team of Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree.
It's just random. It's literally one of those teams that just formed because of like backstage segments.
Pretty much. Yeah. And on top of that, it's also because like we're probably thinking Alpha Academy is not bound for greatness together anymore.
Nope.
We're assuming that something might happen with the Creed brothers as well. You know, Diamond Mine probably not going anywhere as a group, if we're being honest.
I mean, yeah, they're a really solid tag team.
They are.
But I don't know. They haven't been featured much recently.
Yeah.
Like when they first arrived, they were super hot.
I got to say then, something that about the Creed brothers.
Yeah, what's up with them?
I know me and TJ both agree on. Their entrance, not great.
No.
Their costumes, even worse.
Boring.
They're just standard singlets.
Well, not only that, they don't even have the bright blue anymore.
Oh, yeah?
They're gray.
Oh, yeah.
They're like
two-tone gray.
Yeah.
They look like dingy old singlets.
Yep.
It's pretty foul.
Yeah. It's just not a good look for them. I'm going to be honest.
And, like, I get the sporty guys at, like, vibe. They're wrestlers and they're sports guys. But like, do something. Chad Gable's singlet's fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Way better. All of Chad Gable's singlets are better. Even his classic Alpha Academy one is way better than any of the ones Creed Brothers have ever worn.
Yeah. Kurt Angle. He knows how to wear a fancy singlet.
True. And he pretty much ran the same thing for a long time.
Boom.
So
yeah.
Classic.
Boring underwear gray.
Not it. Not the move.
No. And they're really talented.
They are.
Super.
They're really fun to watch, but dang. Boring. Yep. Boring.
Boring
gray.
To look at.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with that. I don't know if that's them or if that's like other people in creative. I don't know.
Yeah. If you understand how the costumes are made for any of these wrestling promotions, please email me directly at roughcutwrestling@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your opinion.
I think about it too, because it's like, think about the teams they put them with. New Day, DIY, you know, it's like both of those teams, very, very good costumes.
Yeah. Loud.
And then you just have
two-tone
gray singlets.
Two-tone gray singlets, yeah.
It looks like they pulled them out of the dirty clothes.
Yeah.
It's so sad looking. And they stand out in the worst way.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not doing them a lot of favors.
It reminds me of the ones that the Gallus, they also have bad singlets.
Mm.
Gallus, the black, they're like black and green. They're the guys who helped The Rock train.
Oh, the people that The Rock contacted to help him train.
Yep. Yeah, they're NXT guys. But they've been doing it for like a while. They've been in NXT for like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're a trio, and they're they also just not good costumes. I mean, really, it's singlets. Maybe singlets are the problem.
I don't have a problem.
And we're
with
just
singlets.
Not creative enough with singlets. No, Rey Mysterio has good singlets.
Yeah, but his are like singlets and
any pants. Yeah,
look at what people are doing with briefs. Even
it's true.
Briefs and a boot. Hello.
They work.
I mean, we're getting fancy with them. If they can do it with briefs. They can make a nice singlet.
Well, yeah, Chad Gable has a whole rack of nice singlets.
So
anyway, I think we've gotten off topic with the wrestling gear talk. We should talk about what this Raw started with.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is Rhea Ripley is injured.
Yes.
Be out for several months and has to vacate her title.
Yeah, she left it in the ring. Liv came out and they kind of promoted like a Liv Morgan, the Liv Morgan revenge experience.
Revenge tour experience, yeah.
Dude,
I'm devastated, man. It sucks so fucking bad after her big WrestleMania win just to have her come in and be like, nope.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't like it, mainly because I think it makes Judgment Day a lot worse off, because Rhea was a big part of that, and now they're kind of on their own, which I am scared about. I mean, scared about it, but also, like, if Judgment Day breaks up, cool, because Damian Priest does a lot better than, and Finn Balor does a lot better than.
Mm-hmm.
Dominic, I think at this point, could probably do well on his own. JD would actually be the one who gets screwed over in that, because JD is still so new to the roster.
JD doesn't really have anything outside of
Judgment
Day.
Right, no, Judgment Day has, like, put a rocket on JD McDonagh. I mean, honestly. And JD McDonagh is fantastic.
He's so good in the ring.
Yeah, he is like...
Even though he's like presented weekly, stuff he can do is
I
crazy.
Would watch a JD McDonagh Ricochet match every week. Yeah. If they just did that match just to do it, I would watch that match every week. Even just purely for the spot fest, because they would just do some crazy stuff. Also, I love JD McDonagh's head being used as a weapon all the time now. Like with Jey Uso. So when Jey had the match with Finn... sorry, not to get off the Rhea thing, but when Jey had the match with Finn and Jey is running away, fucking JD jumps after him and he throws JD's head back. And it's JD's head that lets Jey Uso escape.
It was really great.
Which JD's head is also what won him the match against Axiom.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He leans back and he just bonk and then falls over.
They're leaning into this bobblehead.
I love it. I really love it. I think it's great.
It's funny.
And I would love, especially because if they get into it with Drew McIntyre, I'd love a spot where Drew McIntyre does the Glasgow kiss to JD McDonagh and is like, oh. You know what I mean? Or he does the Glasgow kiss to JD McDonagh and JD McDonagh goes, and then JD McDonagh leans back in and then Drew's like, what just happened to me?
Or he chases his finisher to like a flying headbutt and people just start like super overselling it.
That would be amazing. He should do it. Look, you got to work with what you got. Okay. Yeah. JD
has got a huge head.
Yeah.
Disproportionately large.
He should do like a running headbutt and call it the wrecking ball.
The reckoning ball.
Yeah.
Oh man. Back to Rhea.
Yes, yes.
We
are very upset over Rhea vacating her title. Yeah. Actually, unironically, it is shitty.
It sucks so bad.
I mean, especially since I feel like Rhea has had, I hate to say it, but I would argue like a fairly forgettable title run just because of injury and just because of like squash matches and just things that we're not really going to care about.
Yeah.
Like she had a banger match with Charlotte last year. She had a pretty decent match with Becky. Not my favorite by any means. But she had a lot of good matches in between that. She had a good match with Nia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had that five-woman match that, you know, that you saw in person.
Yep.
So, like, I don't think it's going to be, like, a bad title reign. But, like, for the person who had the title, especially because we know Rhea is capable of having, like, a once-in-a-lifetime title reign.
Especially after a year of having it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Just having to just drop it. Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. Apparently they're going to crown a new champion at this next Raw. Interesting that they would just say we are going to crown a new champion and
did they actually just go and say next Raw
there will be a new champion. Yep. They didn't say we're going to figure out how we're going to find the new champion or we're going to start a tournament. No, just there will be a new champion next week.
Who do you got?
Jeez, I don't even know, because Becky's not around for a minute, probably.
Nope. Pretty sure Becky and Seth are taking time off.
Gosh, I know who I hope it's not.
Nia Jax.
Anyone except Charlotte.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, because I thought she was coming back at, like, the Rumble. She didn't. God,
it's one of my least favorite memes is like, oh, there's a belt available?
Vacant?
Here's Charlotte, who just showed up 1 week ago and is now the number one contender for the belt.
No, dude, if they do that, I think she'll get Rick's Ric Flair's record.
Yeah, she will. Yeah,
that'd be like,
I don't know. Does it count? Because isn't it like a world title thing? Because this one is just, well, I guess it's world heavyweight.
For Charlotte, it's been counting every title just she's every gotten. Title.
Okay.
So that would be such a lame way to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, the title's vacant. Hi, I'm Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I don't know if the Charlotte Flair like love is a Vince thing or a
I think it could have been.
I don't
maybe because I mean Charlotte Flair had the Divas title at one point. Like,
yeah, Charlotte's great. I just I don't want her to win this belt. Yeah, I don't want her to win this belt.
I have Liv Morgan.
If she comes in next week and wins this belt, she does not deserve it.
No.
By any means.
Like, if she's going to... Her winning the final belt she needs to, like, tie or break Rick's record.
That should be, like,
or,
a whole thing.
That should be a whole thing.
Right. That should be, like, a multi-month project for her. That should be, like, a, hey, guys, I've made my comeback here, and I'm going after this belt. Okay, you go after the champion, you lose... You do some comeback type stuff, you know, you get in some feuds and then you come back and you win it. And then it's like a big thing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like that, especially with Triple H at the helm now and how he loves his long term storytelling.
Yes,
I don't think he would have Charlotte Flair do it that way. I don't
find out. I don't know. I
think it should go to Liv Morgan.
Why?
Just so like she can have it. And then when Rhea comes back around SummerSlam or whatever, they set that up.
I don't know. I don't want them to just give it to Liv Morgan.
I mean, that's probably going to be a match or something. Maybe it's
of course it's
going to
be a match, but
something.
Like Liv is like the, in my opinion, Liv is the most obvious person to give it to.
Yeah.
They probably will give it to Liv, but it's going to be lame. Not worthwhile.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want them to give it to Nia, but I think Nia would be better with it than Liv.
Really, though?
Yeah. Nia, here's my thing with Nia. Nia needs some legitimacy, in my opinion. I feel like the reason I don't like Nia is because she always just pops up and then just immediately has title matches just to lose those title matches or to injure somebody or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like in this little thing she's been doing now, she's actually been getting a lot better. And I feel like her matches have gotten a lot better.
I would agree with that.
And I feel like this would be a good moment to let Nia have like the reign of terror, right? And let Nia be like big bad Nia Jax, earn that rep of being big bad Nia Jax instead of it just being, oh, Nia Jax, she's a big lady. So she's bad and mean. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, but like let her have a good run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her picking up the title could cement her as a more legitimate threat.
Especially if it's dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be fine with Nia getting it, honestly. I think now I actually think this would be a good time. At least Nia's been around a little bit more.
Recently,
yeah. Than like Liv. Which I mean it doesn't I know Liv has,
I mean, yeah,
has been here.
Yeah.
But like she hasn't really had a bunch of matches. She's had a couple.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, but we have talked about this before. We do think that she's gotten a lot better since coming back.
Oh,
and she's looked
for
fantastic.
Sure.
In
yeah, she looked great in Elimination Chamber. She looked great against in her little, like, Becky back and forth. Yeah, I mean, she's looked good. I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm just saying, like, Liv is one of those. She's, like, a fan favorite, and I feel like they need to build her up more than just, like, oh, hey, Liv, here's a belt. Cool.
Yeah.
I know that you're just a placeholder until Rhea comes back. At least with Nia, it's like this thing where it's like, oh, God, everybody would fucking hate that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like what you want. You know what I mean? You want the next person to be somebody where they're like, oh, it should have been, you know, Rhea should still be here. You know what I mean? But then Nia is perfect for that.
Yeah.
Because Nia does not give a fuck what anybody's obviously not.
Clearly.
You know what I mean? Like, and giving Nia that dominant, like, oh, this is big, bad Nia Jax. You know what I mean? Like, have her brutalize the other people. You know what I mean? Have it be, like, one of those things, right? And make her, build her up.
Yeah. So I really like the kind of natural storyline that's already been set up for Liv Morgan because she was injured for, like, what was it, like, 8 or 9 months?
A while.
A long time. And then...
Well, she came back and she, like, got injured again.
Really?
There was that thing. Yeah, there was that thing with Raquel. Remember? Because I had mentioned, I was like, oh, Liv's back. And she had like two matches with like Raquel and Rhea and then like got injured again.
Man. Yeah. But I think it's a cool natural storyline, and if they do take that route, I'd like it. But also after hearing you explain the Naya thing, I would like that too.
Yeah, I think maybe this is time. I usually, don't get me wrong, I am a Naya hater. I have been a Naya hater. But
in this situation?
I think in this situation, this would be a good time to give it to Naya, honestly. Because, yeah, everybody will be like, oh, well, Naya doesn't deserve the belt. Exactly.
Yeah, it would build up. It would be a good build up for a good heel in the women's division.
Yeah, exactly. What a arguably very weak women's division right now. Sorry, mm-hmm. Just saying it.
Yeah.
I
guess that leads us to the main event of Raw, which was the Intercontinental Championship match.
Well, there was that little thing with Jay versus Finn. And
oh.
Then Damian shows up and Judgment Day attacks Jay. Just to cover it very quickly. And Damian seems distraught by the fact that Judgment Day attacked Jey Uso.
Yeah.
Without his command.
They didn't let him have his like stare down or whatever.
Yeah, I think Damian really wanted to like the legitimate thing. Like I think Damian's not gonna want Judgment Day, which I love, especially after watching years of Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. I would love if Damian would tell everybody, guys, which he has in the past before, where he's like, hey, don't come out here. It's like, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. And I like the idea that Finn's going to, like, not listen to him and do it anyways.
Yeah. There's also that hype package for him, which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
Made him look super good.
Absolutely.
We love the
bisexual Undertaker. He's coming in suits now, and he's, like, he's all, like, you know, he's got that kind of gusto about him. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. He deserves this push.
Yeah, I didn't, like, I knew I wanted him to get the belt, but I didn't realize how good he would look with one. Until he had it.
Yeah, he should hang on to that, I think, for a minute. I would like another long title reign. And I'm glad he's not, like, already defending it.
Yeah.
Give it time. Make his first defense Backlash, and then take it from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so...
Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, which, can we take another quick aside, actually? Yeah. Because we haven't really talked about this up to this point. So, Jay gets attacked by the Judgment Day, gets away... and uses JD as a weapon. That was the whole thing we talked about. Runs through the crowd, and the camera follows him through the crowd, through backstage, where he pushes somebody out of the way. He's trying to take a selfie with him in the middle of a fucking segment.
Yep.
You know, it's like, but the camera work, phenomenal.
It has been so good.
These last few months.
I love all the cool shots they're doing following the wrestlers, like through Gorilla or through the entire arena even.
Yep.
It's been so cool to see.
I actually really want to point out one from SmackDown where Kevin Owens is there and he's like talking to Byron Saxton, and he grabs the mic from Byron Saxton. He's like, I'm going to do one of those things where the camera follows me as I walk out. And he's like, can I take this? And he just starts walking, and then he sees like the Detroit Tigers belt, and he's like, oh, that's nice. I'm taking
it. Like this. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I'm keeping this.
That one was great.
I just love the command that Kevin and Sammy have over this specific type of like camera thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Jay walks out there and meets Sammy outside the arena, Montreal, hometown vibes. And then Sammy comes in, and the camera follows him all the way back to the
crowd. All the way through the crowd in.
Yep.
Back into the
ring.
And
then he almost comes to the ring, and then he goes back.
He goes back into the crowd.
For the commercial. Yeah. It was pretty funny. Yeah, it was great. Lee Fitting.
Yeah.
We love Lee Fitting here. Really big changes to all of that stuff. It's great. It's been excellent.
Yeah.
I only wish they would do the same sort of like cool depth of field, like with some really like shallow like depth of field for like the title defense thing again. I wish they would still do that, because mm-hmm. they didn't do that with Chad and Sammy. They've only done that at WrestleMania, where like, you know, they got in the ring with them and it did like the framing, like the portrait framing, and like their name for challenger and champion popped up, and it was like on this really tight, like maybe like a 1.8 or a 1.2 like aperture. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I wish they would keep doing that, but I understand that they probably just don't have the extra. That's probably like a specialty thing.
Yeah, they just don't have the extra time to
probably
do that for the weekly shows.
But I hope they keep doing it for pay-per-views. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it was going to be an intense match. It was a very good match. Mm-hmm. 20 some minutes, yep. I think over 20
minutes.
I gave
it 20 minutes, yep.
Very solid. I like the fact that Sami Zayn was not weak in the match.
Yeah. They both looked great.
They did. Chad Gable was putting some extra sauce on a lot of those moves. The
German suplex battle they had.
Yeah, I was going to say immediately, though, right out of the gate when he starts doing his mat wrestling, like, you know, I did say something about Chad Gable some time ago. You know, if I'm not lazy when I'm editing this, I'll put it in there. But I would say now, with this most recent development, Chad Gable, now Kurt Angle.
Gable stocks are up.
Gable stocks are through the roof. I said when that match, and TJ was there, I said Gable has to turn here.
Yeah.
Gable must turn.
Yeah, as soon as I heard the crowd reaction, I was like, it's probably going to happen. And then in the match, he was like yelling at Sammy, like, yep. This should have been mine.
Yeah, he's like, that's my title. That's my title. Like,
yeah. He was going crazy with those ankle locks, too. He had Sammy in.
That was like
things.
Extreme. That's why I really do like the Kurt Angle comparison, because this is like the first time there's been a lot of these like Olympian characters. Who come in here and they have the Kurt Angle vibes and they try to be assholes, but then they just suck.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Chad Gable version of this, where Chad Gable was a babyface, mega babyface, and then maybe like a little bit of like a mixed face. I loved this whole like thing where it's like this organic turn. And I'm hopeful that it will continue, and I'm hopeful that it will create a bigger feud for Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Where
I think this is just like the start of a series that they're going to have.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be really good.
Yes. And I'm hoping Chad Gable's like thing, I don't want him to like copy Kurt Angle, but I want him to hit those kind of promos where he comes out there and he's like, I'm a better wrestler than anyone in the back room. And now with this kind of new bolstered confidence that he'll have, and he'll start wrestling like dirty mixed in with like the way that he's already like a very good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be one of those things where it's like, oh well, you know, he was already good and the ankle lock was already like dangerous, and now it's like he's doing the ankle lock through the ropes and on the turnbuckle, and you know, he's pulling like the, you know, he's doing the moves where it's like he's, you know, scooting around you, but like, you know, maybe he'll catch you in the neck or he'll catch you in the face, you know what I mean,
doing more of the heel targeting.
Yeah. I like this idea of Chad Gable becoming like this sort of like very, very furious, like mean streak kind of character. And I think that would make him a little different than Kurt Angle, even.
Mm-hmm.
Where Kurt Angle's thing was that he was confident he was the best wrestler in the business.
Yeah.
Where I don't think Chad Gable will have that. I think Chad Gable will just have this mean streak to him, to where it's like, oh, Chad Gable's dangerous.
Yeah.
Chad Gable wants to break your ankle.
Yeah, he's not going to be saying I'm the best wrestler. He's just going to be saying I'm better than
I'm
you.
I'm better than you, right. Yeah. Yeah. Chad Gable turn was great. It was a good match. I did not actually really like the finish to the match. I was hoping it would be like a weird finish, like maybe like a messed up pin or a messed up submission that would maybe like cause Gable to have like a better reason to turn in the moment. I'm fine with it just being a normal match that he lost and then he turns as a result of it. But I was really hoping for like more oomph on that, because I'm not crazy about injury spots, especially when it's like an injury spot that like, oh, and right at the end it's ignored.
Yeah.
Because I literally said when Sammy stand up, I'm like, oh, don't do the haluva kick after all that knee like garbage. You know what I mean? And then he just hits the perfect haluva kick.
He does it for the hometown crowd.
And I'm like,
I mean, like, granted, while he's doing the move, he's still limping.
Okay, but it's like, sure. We watched him fail the move two times earlier, and it's like, and his knee only got attacked more since then. I don't know.
Yeah.
I always get annoyed with that. It's like, you know, they could be a little more creative than just, oh, but this time he hits it.
Maybe he could have finally used the blue thunder bomb to finish a match.
Right.
What a wild concept that is.
Yeah. 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 And it was a good way to end out the night. I mean, I don't think people were shocked about the turn, but I think we're excited about the turn.
Very. Do you think that wraps up our second episode?
Jeez, man, I hope so. There's so much to cover.
We had to kind of do double time on this one to make up for last week.
Cut into like four additional episodes. Like one long.
It's probably going to be long, one long episode, honestly. Sorry. Can't make it that easy.
Dang, guys.
Man.
It's going to be long. I know.
You do be talking about wrestling.
I mean, I think that's the goal, right?
It's, yeah.
Talk about wrestling.
Podcast.
It's what we do here. You know, when they tell us to stop talking about wrestling, we'll probably just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah.
First they came for the pro wrestling fans.
And I didn't say anything. And I said nothing.
Anyway, back to that outro you were doing.
Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. Stay tuned for next time. I think we still got some quizzes lined up. We want to get those going. So we got some cool stuff going.
Yeah. Stuff.
Stuff. Stuff is going. Stuff is happening. Yeah. And we will see you next time.
Chad Gable. Absolutely. Kurt Angle.
Make sure you like and subscribe.
And
hit the bell as well.